Blog Talk Radio.
Something to the show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back indeed. Welcome to another special edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Special edition? Isn't every edition special?
I would think so. Clearly he doesn't think so.
No, because on Monday night. We don't do shows on Monday night. But it might be like that for the time being. Since football is back. But like I was saying... I'm your host with the most, until I was rudely interrupted, with the most, the King of Kings himself, I am the High Rod, and on the other line, I have the styling, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, willing and dealing, son of a gun, the one, the only.
Woo! Sean Black in the ring, in the building. Ah, yeah, I'm riled up. And who else is with us today?
And I have the one,
no, I have to give you an introduction. I mean, introduction for you too, dear.
Okay,
I have the lovely and talented with her mouth, and she's very good on her knees. I have.
I'm going to punch you in your face.
And how are you doing, Miss Punch You in the Face?
Alrighty then. You give someone a special introduction, and you get no respect. Alrighty then.
I'm surprised you didn't have, like, porno music playing in the background. That's what I was expecting, almost.
No, I didn't have enough time to pull it up.
I was kind of disappointed with that intro. You're losing it.
We'll get the porno next week. How about that?
Yeah. But other than that, guys, guess what time it is?
It's time to pull off.
It's what we do best.
Yes. True. And I'd like to apologize to the fans out there. Sometimes when Sean Black and I, when we do our meetings, we go at it from time to time. And some of them will tell you, we forget to bring it to the show. So we try our best to bring our knowledge to the show. Because lately, Sean Black has been very passionate, have been very annoyed with a few topics that's been going on in this crazy world today. What's our Chris's ass out about it? But hey, Sean is a caring, loving type of person. Unlike me, I'm a complete a-hole. And Nisha B is, okay, let's go to Sean Black. Sean Black, something's been...
Yeah, we're
somebody.
Back.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Somebody been pissing you off lately, Sean Black. Some Martin Shurik.
Yes. Go figure. Was, if somebody is pissing me off and they're not named Donald Trump right now, go figure.
That's true. On social media, he was denounced as a human garbage, a monster, a psychopath. And a lot of people besides Sean Black is annoying and very pissed off with this guy.
Yes.
So what, you could buy a tablet that helps your sickness for $750. But, Sean, I'm sure you have a lot to talk about. So the pen is dropped. The mic is yours.
Okay. Where do I start? We start with the news that broke roughly a week ago. The CEO of this company, the man's name is Martin Shkreli. Originally from Brooklyn, raised in Brooklyn, very intelligent guy, graduated from high school early, went to Baruch College, got an MBA there, became head of a couple of pharmaceutical companies. He created his own biotechnology company after he got out of college. He was an intern with Jim Cramer. For those that know who Jim Cramer is, he's the host of the show Mad Money, the financial show that's on CNBC. So he's a very smart, intelligent guy, very young. I believe he's only 32 or 33 years old, so he's still a very young guy in the business world out there, making boku bucks, as they say. Now, here is where we all know what kind of a smarmy guy this guy really is. We know that just a couple of weeks ago we found out that it was a drug that was that's primarily used to help cancer patients and AIDS patients. It's called Daraprim, which is it helps to treat toxoplasmosis, malaria, certain types of cancers, AIDS. The price of the drug was $13.50 per tablet. He decided to jack that up $750 per pill, which is a 5,455% increase. And he did an interview actually trying to rationalize the reasoning behind this entire thing. Why would I raise the price of that?
Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. For people that don't know, to buy a bottle of 30 pills, that's $22,500 for one bottle. But carry
exactly.
on.
Wow.
Exactly. And the craziness is behind all of this. He claimed that despite the increase of the price, patient co-payments would actually be lower so that many patients would be able to get the drug at no cost, that the company would expand its free drug program, and that it sells half of the drugs that they sell for a dollar. That doesn't help the fact that there are people that are out there, whether they are very, very sick or impoverished. Maybe they're elderly and they're working on they're living on a fixed income. As we've talked before about, there are a lot of elderly people that don't make a lot of money, so they have to decide whether to take their medications or eat. So it's either I'm going to make sure that my heart medication is there, or I'm going to be eating dog food for the rest of the week. These are the kinds of decisions that people have to make when they take these kinds of medications. And when you have somebody who's the CEO of a drug company, and the only thing that they think of is making money for a bunch of other rich people who already are rich, and to improve the bottom line of a medical company's IPO, independently traded on the stock market, that's when you know then there is something definitely wrong with this picture. Now, it may, for people that don't realize that they may not have, as they say, a dog in the fight, they don't have anybody that's sick, God bless you, you're safe, everything is good, don't worry about it. But for those that actually have a family member, a friend, maybe a mother or a sister, a cousin, somebody that they've known for a long time that needs to take these medications, and they do not have the money to pay for this stuff, you're basically at the beck and call of the insurance companies. And obviously these companies, they in it to make money, but they're not thinking of the bigger picture, which is as a service, something has to change here. And if it doesn't change, you're going to hear of a lot of people that are going to be suing the company because they couldn't afford to take the medication to stay alive. And to walk on TV and have an interview and smile and grin and say the reason why we're bringing the costs up is to help us get research for better treatment. You cannot play Russian roulette with a person's life that takes medication for this kind of reason. And for somebody to go on TV and say something like that is irreprehensible. It is sickening, disgusting, deplorable, and the very least inhumane. And if you can live with yourself doing something like that, there is something wrong with this society in general.
Come on, Sean, tell us how you really feel.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, basically, you know. Carry on. We have 40 more minutes. Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel.
Yes, and even more so. It's not like this person is actually a good person in general. To show you what type of person this guy is, he's actually went and gone online to a former company that he created that he was basically fired from, and went after a coworker or a former employee that he was the boss of for $3 million to sue him and troll their family over the situation, which is in and of itself irreprehensible. Listen to this. Just listen to this. He sent a letter to the family of, I believe, there's Mr. Piriotti, who's worked at this company that he helped co-found and he was fired from. This is the letter he sent to the wife of this person. Quote, Your husband has stolen $1.6 million from me, and I will get it back. I will go to any length necessary to get it back. Having frozen your husband's stock account once, I will do so repeatedly until I get what is mine. Your pathetic excuse of a husband needs to get a real job that doesn't depend on fraud to succeed. I hope to see you and your four children homeless and will do whatever I can to assure this. This is a letter that he put in here, and the only reason why we know about this is part of a lawsuit that is against him for harassment. This is part of the – this is ridiculous. This is the kind of person that's running a drug organization to make money.
Okay, so are you ready, or are you still talking?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good now. Go ahead.
You sure?
You sure?
Yes, I'm calmed down.
Mm. Okay.
Beast mode deactivated.
I don't believe you.
Oh.
I think you have more to say.
Further more. go ahead, Hot Rod.
he's waiting for the Hot Rod to come up with a question, the evil question. So this guy is a corporate greed. Okay. But what's new about what he's doing? If it's been going on for years and years. I'm like, they've been medicine. We are overpaying for medicine for a very long time. Europe, Canada spend less money than we do. So what Martin Shkreli-Maka, whatever his name is, what he's doing is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I understand you're upset that he's raising 5,000%. But if there's people to buy this stuff, unfortunately not us, if he's still going to make money from it, who wins? He does, right?
You're right. And it's his job as the CEO, because we all know, and this is part of the problem, that a lot of these medical organizations and drug companies are publicly traded IPOs, meaning they have stock market people that are stockbrokers that have interest in the company to make money. It's
okay, so this guy, so Sean Black, is this guy the typical CEO? Isn't that what CEOs do most of the time?
You're right.
Think about that.
Yeah, and you're right. A lot of them actually do come across as douchebags because their bottom line, no matter what, is to make money. And I don't know if you've noticed this. There have been a lot of politicians that have come out on a stance or a particular issue. And you notice they'll be staunch against it. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that. And then they change their tune when something happens to somebody in their family where that staunch opinion kind of contradicts the way they feel toward that family member. Let's say your daughter comes down with a particular issue. Well, look at these laws that happen. Then that starts to happen. They change their mind. Same kind of thing with these CEOs.
Okay, look at your other favorite hero, Donald Trump. He was not a nice guy for no reason. He was a douchebag. Same thing with God, rest in peace, Steve Jobs. As CEOs, you have to be a douchebag. I'm like, once again, I understand the frustration. People who really need the medicine can't afford it. But you have to do what's best for business. If you want to make $1 trillion, you sell something, a pill for $1 million. There will always be a sucker out there to buy it.
But see, here's the thing. There's a difference between that sucker born every minute mentality and the fact that this is something that people depend on to live. It's one thing if you're saying, okay, there are people that catch the common cold. Okay, most people, if they catch a cold, if they don't take any medication, the worst that they're going to have is either a fever, they'll cough, sore throat, and they'll have a runny nose. Okay, the body, if you're healthy enough, will begin to heal itself. When you have an immune disorder, if you have AIDS, or if you are hypoglycemic, or you have diabetes, your life depends on the medications that you get. And the corporations that are doing this are making a profit anyway. The problem is they're going from making a profit to making the most profit. And the problem with that is there's no competition out there to lower the cost of these medications like that. So
I think that was my next question. If drug companies are bad, who should develop the drugs then?
And that's the problem. Exactly. You have these. You have a lot of really smart, intelligent people coming out of college, and then they're going into the pharmaceutical industry and into medicine and applied sciences to try to come up with the cures and treatments for a lot of these ailments, especially a lot of these diseases that we've never heard of, which are called orphan diseases, which are rare disorders that either you've never heard of or are have been heard of but don't have any treatments. That's pretty much where they go with that. The problem is you got to have funding somehow. And the evil part of the pharmaceutical industry is that a lot of them seem to be in bed with the, as they call it, big pharma. They seem to be in bed with a lot of the investors as trying to make the stockholders richer than they already are. To get that money back into the company, they have to do whatever they can, I guess. The problem is they don't pass off the savings, what was supposed to happen, to the customers. A lot of times they're passing off the entire cost, and the insurance companies are making just as much money. So they're not really helping anyone out. If you've got good insurance, you're good. But what if you're that person that has HIV and has to take 35 pills or 20-some-odd pills like it used to be back in the 80s and the 90s, and your insurance is not going to pay for it, and then they decide to jack the price up? Then what?
Well, you know what? That was my next question. What does the insurance companies have to say about this? Well, unfortunately, you know, they have to cover some of the charge, right?
Yeah,
if I have insurance, like Blue Cross, Blue Crap, whatever that insurance company that I have, should they cover most of that drug for me anyway, since I'm paying them anyway for it?
Exactly. They're supposed to. That's the whole premise behind insurance. The insurance company is supposed to work with the pharmaceutical industry, and they're supposed to subsidize the cost of a lot of the medications that you're taking so that when the person that is actually taking the medication, i.e. the customer, the patient, that if they cannot obviously pay, you know, the exorbitant amount of money that you need to take, you know, you're screwed. It would be ridiculous. I had surgery on my ankle years ago.
Oh, here we go again.
No, from the sense of if your insurance doesn't pay for a particular service, it would have cost me out of my pocket probably close to $8,000-$9,000 just for the surgery. And then the treatment and all that other stuff, that would have been a lot more. So there are a lot of people that are out there that if they don't have insurance would be screwed when it comes to medications, and especially a life taken, a medication that you would need to save your life. If the insurance company doesn't help you, you're really screwed.
All right, so talk about insurance company. Anisha B, do you think the Obamacare have anything to do with this?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, to me, the Obamacare is worthless.
Yeah, but you figure the original the practice was we're going to get quote-unquote help from Obamacare, the best insurance plan out there. Maybe that's why
Obamacare,
I was like, I think it's
to me, okay, my opinion, Obamacare is only out there for the rich or the desolate, the poor. Unfortunately, our government couldn't give a damn about the middle class.
You mean there's still a middle class out there? I mean, at this rate, it seems like the middle class is almost evaporating.
We all do well for ourselves, but we don't make 6-7 figures, and everything is ridiculous. It doesn't help us. It either helps the desolate, the poor who get insurance for free, or the wealthy who can afford the extra $100 a month for another bill.
So, but who could afford a $22,000 pill if you have to take it every month? Doesn't that
Nobody
add
can.
Up to millions of dollars? Millions of dollars?
Ridiculous.
And see, that's the thing, is that there is no, there seems to be a lack of ethical practice when it comes to medications and when it comes to the medical profession. When
People
you have doctors that get paid a ton of money to treat you, I, Anitra, for anything, whether it's, you know, you need to take a flu shot or you broke something, you have to get your arm set in a cast, or you have something internally wrong with you. It's their job to make sure that you're okay so that you can continue to live the life that you want to live. and it sometimes it requires medication. The problem is that if all your company sees is a bottom line and they don't have an obligation in their mind to treat people with an affordable plan to make sure that you can actually take the medication, then that's where everything seems to be off kilter. If you can't go ahead to the doctor and say, I need this medication and I'm not going to be able to pay for it, I mean, hey, who's going to go to the dentist without insurance for dental? Oh, I have to get, you know, braces. Well, braces cost $8,000. Well, who's going to pay for that?
Your mama. But I'm getting a live tweet right now from Drunk Bartender. That's his name, Drunk Bartender.
Ah, interesting name.
Yes. Of course, you know, I'm surrounded by drunk people all the time.
Oh, of course.
And he says, a new drug takes millions to develop, so the evil company needs profit. It isn't an answer, but that's how the government runs.
Mm. And so I can understand that, though. I mean, we know in America, it's all about capitalism making money to be able to survive and live the life you want to live. We understand that. But also, in certain jobs, there has to be some sort of ethics involved. Because if you go into the food industry and you know that you're trying to make profits, nobody is going to walk into a fast food restaurant and pay $45 for a hamburger because the price of meat went up. We know that's not the case, although at this point it seems like that is the case in certain areas. But we know that that would be stupid. You would bankrupt the company. So you have to make it affordable for people so that going in, they know they can afford your product so that they will come back. If somebody has a need for something, not necessarily a want, a need, and you price it to the point where that need is unattainable, then you have problems. And this is when the issue of ethics involved or lack of them becomes an issue when we talk about the drug industry.
Okay. The number to call, guys, is 347-989-8402. That is 347-989-8402. And let me know if you're very upset like Sean Black is. But Sean Black, my question to you is, what should we do about this? Or what can we do about this?
Well, the first thing you need to do, and this goes to a lot of the other topics we've talked about over the last few months, is talk to your congressman, talk to a local alderman, talk to someone within your political district, and get on the horn and talk to them about, well, what kind of solutions can we have done? Write letters to your senator. Go ahead and find out the constituents within your district and try and get them to mobilize. Letters, emails, Twitter, go online. Because we know that now the government has their own Twitter accounts and they have Facebook and whatever. So go ahead and do a grassroots campaign to try to make sure that this stuff is affordable. Because we know Congress doesn't get along with themselves. I mean, how many times do we hear on the news that they're about to shut the government down over something because they don't feel like talking to each other? If the people who are electing these officials in office that are getting them their paychecks decide we don't want you in office anymore, which is usually how things get done, that's what you have to go ahead and do. Go ahead and call, contact, blow up their Facebook page as far as, you know, comments and getting in questions, ask, find out what's happening, call. Make phone calls and find out what you can do from there. And I'm pretty sure after a while, something will get done.
Well, you know how corrupted our government is. Money talks. So, yes, the people will write and Twitter and be outraged. But if you have a guy like Martin Shirikwamaka paying the government off, who wins?
And that's the problem. Because as we say, the rich get richer, and that's usually what happens. He comes across as a complete douche. You can be one. There's nothing wrong with being a douche. The problem is when you're being a douche in the face of people that need to have something with their lives on the line. I'm pretty sure a lot of people that are affected by something like this probably have a completely different ideal behind what goes on in the day-to-day operations of these businesses when they have something personally invested involved. And I'm not even talking about money. I'm talking about they have a sick relative that needs this medication. They're going to go ahead and do whatever they can. And the problem is, as I've stated before with the American public, is that not enough action is taken because, one, they don't think they know what they need to do, and just, the effort just isn't there. They don't know the channels to go through. And the information is, in most people's cases, right in front of their eyes.
Okay, before I go to K-Dog, hello, K-Dog. Do you think Donald Trump will help the situation out?
No.
You really want an answer to that?
No.
This is called the absolute truth. You'd be surprised what Donald Trump might do.
Really, let's call a spade a spade. Donald Trump is a billionaire. He doesn't have to worry about health care himself.
Okay.
If he gets elected, what do you think he might do?
He will take care of the poor people in the middle class.
And you said that with a straight face?
Yeah. Well, K-Dog, you're on the air. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, everybody. Good evening.
Good evening, my friend.
Well, I'm listening in on the show, and I'm hearing what's going on. This is a sad case of exploitation when it comes to, trying to exploit those who are less fortunate. I mean, what that guy did, he was just dirty and wrong because – how are you going to raise the prices of these medications where you know that people need the meds? Because, I mean, let's face it, not everybody has health insurance. Am I correct?
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is the United States of America where things like this happen every day. I mean, you have some businessmen who lie and cheat and steal and do things to people every day. And it's a serious matter. I mean, and you know what's sad about the whole thing is that, you know, as I read about it and I learned about it in the news, I mean, what he just did was just completely, you know, dirty from what I read about the price, from what I read about the price hike controversy, where he obtained manufacturing licenses on old, out-of-patent life-saving medicine, including Darafrim, which is used to treat patients with malaria, some cancers, and AIDS, right? And then he increased the price of the drug in the U.S. from $13.50 to $750 per pill. You know, that's a 5,455% increase. It's a highway robbery. You know, and you know, when they asked him about it in the interview with the Bloomberg News, he claimed that despite the price increase, patient co-pays would actually be lower, that many patients would get the drug at no cost, that the company has expanded its drug fee program, and that it sells half of the drugs for $1, which is all, you know, complete BS, if you ask me. No, it was completely wrong. And then, you know, that's what he did.
We all know that this not the first time, like Hot Rod said earlier, it's not the first time that a medication has been raised from being low cost. Tetracycline, which a lot of people take as an antibiotic, discovered in 1948, used to cost 5 cents for a tablet, which is, like, I think, 500 milligrams. That was as early as November of 2013. Today, it's $11 a pill. So that's 2,200% of an increase.
Yeah.
So there are medications that are out there that do get raised, but you don't hear as much of a stink about it because it's not really known and you don't have as much attention brought to it.
But guys, you need to understand that it's not just insurance and the CEOs. You have doctors. It's all a scam of scamming each other between the doctor to insurance to the drug company. They're all taking money from each other, and we end up paying for it at the end, no matter what. We go see a doctor, you have co-payments. And there's co-payments, they take the money from the insurance. And what does the doctor tell you? Come back in 2 weeks. For what?
Yeah.
For a checkup. So they go charge the insurance again. Then they go give you the drugs. what do you have to do? Another co-payment for insurance. Everybody's trying to scam each other, trying to make money from each other.
Do you know how much money that these pharmaceuticals make? Between 2013 and 2012, they made $1.2 trillion with a T, trillion dollars.
It's all about the dollar.
Yes, well, you know what? Anisha and I, we came to another agreement. We don't believe in medicine. Yes. We think most medicine does a hoo-ha. It is temporary relief. It doesn't not do much. That's why we go to alcohol. Alcohol is a better medicine, but that's our personal opinion.
Yes, it is. Vodka makes the world go round.
But you know, guys, you know what else too? There's a catch to this price increase that, you know, that's been criticized, of course, by Hillary Clinton, the HIV Medicine Association, and the Infectious Diseases Society of America. But also, you guess who else criticized it? The lobbying group, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, even Donald Trump. Donald Trump criticized this move. And
notice
so
you said could. Could doesn't mean would.
Yeah. Yeah, Donald Trump even went against it. Donald Trump even went. And you know what? There was even a record label that ended its business relationship with him because they had invested in the company. He lost a major investment.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical company is called Turing Pharmaceuticals. So for those that are out there that want to know a little more about it, that's the company that has the rights for that particular drug that was raised. Inevitably, he said that he was going to drop the price because they didn't realize how much of an uproar it was going to cause, so they're not going to raise it up to seven. It's a bunch of garbage.
No, he did. He said like this. Oh, in response to the anger that was felt by the people, that's what he said.
That's
and I'm
garbage.
Like,
we know the reason why that's the case.
The reason why he said that because you know why he got caught out there, and now his name is being his rep is ruined because of this. I mean, it shows that you're just getting rich off of those who are needy. That's why I call this whole thing exploitation. This is a total act of exploitation.
And I've already told you, the guy, as I brought out, he has a lawsuit going against him in court now. There was also something else that was brought up, I believe, earlier today, where his emails were shown that he offered an ex-girlfriend $10,000 to have oral sex with her.
Yeah.
Plus, he was hackers hacked into his email and gave people his personal address and information too.
Yes, once that story floated, he was like public enemy number one for the last 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, he was.
But guys, I have the perfect solution to this problem. Move to Canada. Move to Europe. That's it. Party done. Okay.
Of course, you get sick. They give you free insurance. Hey, you don't have to worry about nothing. I mean, they do it in Canada.
Exactly.
All right, but
do you know how much in taxes they pay in Canada? Free. They pay for that.
it's
worse for them compared to us. Talk about corporate greed. Let's move on to something that we talked about last week on the show, and we did not talk too much about it. I wanted to talk about it again because, you know, Anitra is a rich person, and she's trying to kick us out of our neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
Did you fall on your head today?
Oh,
I'm on fire. This is just the beginning.
Did you bang your head?
No, I was banging something else. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Besides that.
Something wrong with you.
I've known
this. It's just, you know, just levels. There's always different levels of it.
Okay. I'm glad that you're intrigued by me. But I want to talk about gentrification again. Well, it is a bigger problem than we thought it is. And I don't think the people out there who don't live in New York, they understand, but in New York is a very serious problem. But before I get into it, I want Sean to tell us the definition of it.
Okay. For those that don't know the actual meaning of gentrification, it's basically the buying and renovating of houses and stores in deteriorated urban neighborhoods by wealthier individuals, which in effect improves property value, but also can displace low-income families and small businesses. Basically, any neighborhood that has a lot of, as they call, blight, where you have a lot of houses where people have, you know, the foreclosed on houses, you have a bunch of crack houses or a restaurant that went under and they left and they just left the place there. You have a lot of these buildings, a lot of these residential areas where the houses aren't being inhabited. You have a lot of people that have money come in with real estate companies. They destroy the houses. They renovate them. They build new houses there. And then the property values then go up, which then helps bring more people to that neighborhood, but also makes it unaffordable for other people that want to move in. Like, for instance, I'll give you an idea. The Bedford-Stuyvesant section of Brooklyn, one of the biggest, at one point, was the biggest conglomeration of African-Americans in the country, bigger than Harlem. There was a lot. There was well over, I believe, 2 million people that lived in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area. Over the last few years, what we've been seeing are a lot of people moving out either because they want to, you know, retire and go to Boca Raton or go to Atlanta. And then they realize, you know what, moving down south wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Maybe they were victim of the dot-com subprime mortgage scams that happened. They moved down south. They don't want to live down there anymore. They come back up. They find out that the property that was there skyrocketed. So now a house that was probably $500,000 when they moved, they came back up and it's worth almost $2 million now. So now they have nowhere to go. And as I said, property values go up. You have lots of people not able to get affordable housing. Studio apartments are like $2,000, $3,000 now for a month of rent. And even the price of food has gone up. That's, in essence, what gentrification has become.
So with that point, I want to recall something that Anisha said last week. I cannot go by exact words because I don't remember, to be honest. And you say part of the problem was saving up. People don't save up. People use their money to buy Gucci bags and other nonsense like Jordans, which I think that is true, but to a certain degree. But at the same time, it's very hard to find something decent, not something fancy, not like a great three-bedroom apartment, something decent to live in New York City. And the problem is so bad, you have city employees, people who work for the city of New York City, are homeless or living in shelters or living in cars. So people with jobs, but everybody have a situation. Not everybody's the same. It's easier to say that, oh, this person makes $32,000, they go find a place to live. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not easy like that, especially in New York.
Yes.
Well, we had a friend, I'm not going to mention his name, who got thrown out from his mother's place, and he could not find a place to live for a while. And we couldn't help him because, once again, Sean Black, you have your situation, I have my situation, Anitra B, K-Dog, we all have our own situation. We're all not living in a fancy house. We live in a reasonable area.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't live by themselves anymore, for the most part, in New York City. Everybody have like four or five roommates for a one-bedroom.
Yeah.
Think about that. Four or five people for one bedroom. For people, especially for the young people, to survive in this area.
Yeah.
And if you're by yourself, for these city employees that are making money, if you're by yourself, yes, you may afford the apartment, but you're not going to have any lights or gas or cable.
Or you'll be eating cat food like the elderly people I spoke of before.
Yeah.
So once again, corporate greed is taking over. Just like the drugs, corporate greed is taking over our area. And it did not happen in New York. Also, New Orleans, as we just found out last week. It's happening in a lot of places, people. They try and kick the middle class or the lower class out to bring in people with money into the area, which I understand it to a certain degree, but still it's wrong at the same time. Because I myself was looking for a place to live, but I can't. So I'm stuck living with baby mama drama right now for the time being.
Oh, man.
No, but let's be serious.
I'm pretty sure quote unquote baby mama drama is listening to.
Yes, well,
no. She's somewhere else right now, thank God. That's why I could tell the truth. But what happened if, let's say, just like our friend, me and baby mama drama decided to go our separate ways? Where will I go? There are still couples, divorced couples, still living in the same apartment. And people, they don't build houses in New York City no more. They build condos. Everything's like a condo now.
Yeah. Or they buy up the brownstones that were prevalent throughout the city. They gut them. They furnished them to like a nouveau, new wave, the way it is. And they jack up the rent. Like,
yep,
average. If you get it like a 900 square foot furnished apartment, you're looking at close to $3,700 a month. That's in the city.
Well,
and just in Manhattan by itself, you're looking at $3,000 a month rent. You'd have to be making almost $45 an hour to be able to afford that. Where are those jobs?
I don't know if you saw this in the newspaper. I think it was about a month or two ago. There was an article about this gentleman. He was about our age, mid-30s. And the building that he lived in Manhattan, because he wanted a Manhattan address.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They converted a walk-in closet into an apartment. He's paying $1,000 a month.
I read about that.
Wow.
I read about that last month.
$1,000 a month. It was originally supposed to be a walk-in closet with, like, one of those, you know, little windows, those square, the long rectangular windows you see sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$1,000 a month for that.
As a matter of fact, Anisha, I'm glad you brought that up because I remember watching that on News 12, and they were talking about that, and I had to scratch my head. I'm like, are you serious?
And he's proud of it.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, with a situation like that, what can we do overall? Are we going to live with each other for the rest of our lives?
Because
at this rate, that might be the solution.
Hot Rod, yes. I got news for you. This is going on. It's not just New York City alone, you know. It's going on nationwide because I'm glad you brought up New Orleans because, remember, 10 years ago, we saw one of the worst disasters ever. That was Hurricane Katrina, when those levees broke and the streets of New Orleans was flooded. What do you know? All the homes that were destroyed, many people lost everything. I mean, they lost the documents, so they lost the land. So you know what they did now? They rebuild those houses, and guess what? They raise the rates, affordable price, that nobody could buy.
Of course.
It's impossible for those people to buy their homes back.
And they knew that that was going to be the case.
Yeah, they did it. And it even happened in Los Angeles. Do you remember after the, how many of us could remember, after the 1992 riots that happened, when all those places were burned down? Guess what? Again, they built things on those lands, and guess what? Raised the rates for those people.
Okay,
I'm going to give you something that'll make you think. Just this will really make you think. As we all talk about how expensive it is to live in New York City,
yeah,
it is cheaper to live in Los Angeles, Dallas,
yeah,
Richmond, Virginia, and Miami, Florida. It's cheaper to live there. And these are big cities. It's cheaper to live there than to live in New York City. And in Los Angeles, it's actually 20% cheaper to live in Los Angeles than it is to live here. I want you to think about that concept.
The only reason why L.A. is cheaper, like, for instance, I have my sister lives in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Los Angeles, their rents are pretty much the same as New York. The only difference is the rent, let's say you live in you can have the same rent for 5 years. The landlords out there won't raise your rent because they want to keep you there.
Hmm.
And you're getting more amenities. Parking's included. You get more utilities are included in the rent. You get a lot more for your buck out there. But your rent stays the same.
Hmm.
You get a two-bedroom apartment. Let's say you get a two-bedroom apartment for $1,600, $1,700 a month, and you're there for 5-6 years. That is what you'll pay in 5 years.
Wow.
Okay.
That's the big difference between L.A. County and New York City. Same amount of money,
okay.
But they're just smarter.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No, okay, well, at the same time, let me play devil's advocate. You have your building. What type of clientele do you really want in your building or in your area? Do you want the low-income family? Do you really want crackheads in your area, especially when you try to raise your own family?
And a lot of that is all under the guise of trying to beautify the neighborhood. We want to make sure that we don't have, like you just said, we don't want to have evil here. We don't want crime. We want to make sure that everything is clear. Basically, to create a neighborhood where everybody lives in a little bubble and make sure that nobody can burst that particular bubble. So they do whatever they can to help that particular area that's already there stay the way it is.
Yeah,
it's almost like a reverse institutionalized deal,
yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, and you're pushing everybody back. Let's be honest, none of us want to live in a project. Yes, that's affordable, but it's dangerous at the same time. There've been shootings, rapes, crimes,
right.
off the chain. We don't want to live in that area. So, unfortunately, we have to find ways to live in a quote-unquote decent area in New York City.
And the projects, the way they are now, were never meant to be the way they are. They were mostly supposed
to
be temporary housing for anybody so that they can have, well, I'm saving my money, so I'm going to be in this apartment right now. I'll stay here for a year, 2 years, and then I can save up enough money to put a down payment on a home that I want to buy. But what you see happening is because of the lack of jobs, the way people get treated, and the way things are gone now, we have people that live in the projects, and then they grow up in the projects, and they have children in the projects, and they're raising their children in the projects, and then they have grandchildren in the projects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't break the chain.
But you know what? I know Anisha would say something like this. People are lazy.
Yes.
Some people are lazy. Let's be honest. Like, wow. That's twice I agree with Anisha tonight. Take notes, people.
Wow.
But besides
wow.
You know what?
No, I might actually start drinking
on that one.
No, but
oh, my goodness.
You're right. People, when people get comfortable, they get lazy. And unfortunately, that's what happens, especially like you said, Sean, in the project environment. They get comfortable. They have, what is it, like 200, maybe 300 bucks a month, and utilities are included.
Yeah.
The basic utilities, right? I think the only thing you have to pay for is, what, cable? Because it's considered a luxury or something like that?
Yeah. They give you a refrigerator and a stove. They give you, you know, you probably they'll paint the place for you. And as long as they make sure you've got running water and heat when you need it,
that's about all they
provide. You have to pretty much do the rest yourself.
So people get comfortable.
Yeah, but guys, believe it or not, there's still a lot of problems in a project, let's be honest. I mean, you'd be lucky
High
to
crime.
Have running water. High crime and is a gamble. As Nisha always said, you get what you pay for. So, you pay $200 a month, but look what you're getting for.
Yeah,
do we really want to live that type of lifestyle?
And,
no.
And the thing is, you're pigeonholing a lot of people in the same economic issues into the projects. You're looking
at
African Americans, Hispanics, Asian Americans, people that are trying to make that quote unquote American dream, try to put that money aside, and for whatever reason they get pulled back. So they can't really do what they would like to do. And because you have the same groups of people that have the same economic issues, the same social issues, problems within their own race against other races, you end up having high crime. You have a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of sexual crimes that happen, people getting killed, rapes, those kinds of things happening much more so than need to. And a lot of that can be alleviated if the ones that live in the projects actually have the hope that this is not the end-all, be-all where I'm going to be for the rest of my life.
And guess what else, too? I'm glad you guys mentioned about the housing because, you know, the New York City Housing Authority is under investigation with a lot of things that they're doing wrong. There's been a lot of investigation going on.
Like the doctors, just like everything else, people are greedy and they don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, they're exploiting. And you know what? There's been apartments in those buildings in which the people live in the most deplorable conditions ever, not running water. You have the walls that they build inside those apartments they're weak. Those walls are built with sheetrock, so any type of water that falls from upstairs, their apartments could get flooded. And once those ceilings collapse and they call and say, oh, we need repairs in our apartment, they never come.
No, but they don't care.
They never come.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago, it might have been last year, sometime in the summer, there was an apartment complex, I think in the Bronx, where they had a water silo either on the roof or right next door to it, and there was a big leak, a pipe burst, and just was dripping in the walls of certain apartments, and it would flood hallways, it would seep into people's houses, people had clothing ruined, pictures of loved ones, that kind of thing. Those kinds of things were ruined. And it took weeks and weeks and weeks before somebody said anything. And if it wasn't for the news being contacted, nothing would have been done.
Exactly.
You think that would push people to want to get out of that, but it doesn't, which is a step. It's mind-boggling.
Exactly, Anitra B. Jesus Christ, this is the third time I agree with you. If
like,
you live in a situation.
It's mind-boggling on why you would choose to live in squaw.
Exactly. People to live in deplorable conditions.
People don't want to spend their money. So if you live in, if we know, let's say we all live together in the 2-bedroom, and our conditions are worsened, will you think one of us would like get up like, you know what, guys, we need to find a better place. We need to
get
ourselves to get a job, and you know, put our 2 cents together. If we all have work part time, we probably could get a better apartment. But unfortunately, once again, people are lazy and don't see it that way. They've got to deal with the conditions, pay their $200 a month, and spend their money on Jordans or the PS4.
And hope they don't get fired.
Hope they don't get fired. And Anitra,
even better, spend that money on a lottery. Hopefully they would win the Powerball or the Mega and move on to a better world.
Exactly. And how many people do we know that make a decent salary that actually go and do the lotto every week? And I'm not saying just, you know, I'll try it once a week or whatever. We're like maybe 50, 60, 70 bucks a week on the lotto. Oh, I got to win Powerball. Oh, it's up to $300 million. I got to win. You know, I have a friend of mine that plays, you know, he's got a pretty good job. And so he still plays the lotto on a regular basis. You know, he's trying to get that big jackpot. And it's an illusion because the odds are way against you.
Of course they are.
That's a million to one. Anitra, I'm glad that you pointed out, you know, one thing that I wanted to add into what you said about people being lazy. Also, another thing too, live within your means. I mean, it's
people
hard.
Don't
know
what that is anymore.
No, people don't. They really don't. And that's what's the problem, because they're not living within your means. Like I said before one time, I said, listen, cannot buy a Cadillac by hoopty means, which means if you cannot afford it, then don't buy it. You know? You can't afford it, don't buy it. I'm not talking about cars.
But some people love to show off.
Yeah, some people love to show, and that's a problem.
It's all about keeping up appearances.
Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, listen, let's look at reality, okay, between rich people and those who are not so rich. I mean, you look at a guy like Bill Gates. Does Bill Gates flash around and looking all flashy? No, the guy's wearing regular slacks and a sweater. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. You look at people like Russell Simmons. Russell Simmons looks like a regular guy walking down the street. Mark Zuckerberg looks regular. So, you know, you don't have to try to, oh, well, I got to keep up with the Joneses, love to show off. Yeah, okay, good. You're looking good and stuff. But yet, you don't even have money to pay next month's rent. Talking about you just bought a Samsung television, a 50-inch Samsung television set for, like, let's just say $2,000-something, and you're talking about, oh, I got myself a television set. Oh, I can't pay the rent next month.
Or it's like we said before, where you actually see people that are living in the projects and they're driving around on leased BMWs. Like,
exactly.
How is that the case? You
mean to tell me you take your whole paycheck and spend it on nonsense? No. That's not the way to live. You gotta live within your means. I mean, does everybody agree with what I'm saying, or you know?
You're right.
Oh, no.
There isn't the discipline that is needed, but a lot of that comes from the sense that to be able to take care of any kind of money, to be able to budget certain things, is something that has to be taught. And in a lot of minority areas where that is not the case, you have to be able to go to the young and tell them, this is what happens as you get older. You're going to have to learn to put this aside.
Be responsible.
Learn about credit cards if you have to use them, what APR is and what not to use and when not to use it. Those kinds of things aren't taught, and that's part of the problem.
And you know what else? And I'm glad you brought up the lottery, because you know what? There have been people who have won the lottery in the past, right here in the city, who's won the lottery, big-time money, big money. But guess what? There was one guy who won the lottery twice, who hit the jackpot twice. This guy used to be a bus driver. He won the lottery, but guess what? Here in his 2016, that guy, broke. Went and spent his money on all the cars, all the vacations, buying things that are beyond your control. There's something that people need to know about saving money.
Yeah.
You got to set your priorities. There's nothing wrong with, you want to look good? Okay, fine. Go to, like, this is how people should do it. Buy things that are affordable. Don't sit there and spend money on useless things. Because you're buying your kid $200 pair of Jordans, guess what? Kids grow.
Well,
you know what? You're going to lose.
Isn't it always about styling and profiling?
And that's the sad part about it, Rob. Styling and profiling. I gotta look good. People, we don't know how much some people spend on clothes. We don't know that. That's the sad part about it.
And that's the problem, is that the misplaced importance on the materialistic is what's really killing everybody. There are a lot of people that have, let's say, never had the opportunity to go out and buy things that they've wanted because of, you know, whatever economic issue they've had growing up. So they finally get their hands on some kind of money that is initially their own. And then they just have, you know, I'm going to go to the store. And the next thing you know, they got 5 leather jackets. They got a brand new car that they're going to lease for the next who knows how long. And they got a payment to put on that. They got a car note. And then they got insurance. And then they have this.
And meanwhile, you can't even afford to pay your rent.
No dental benefits, nothing, you know?
Nothing. No medical benefits or anything.
Yeah,
and
my teeth hurt, but at least I know I got a good car to drive in. I mean, really?
Hey, my teeth hurt. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I got myself some new pair of Yeezys.
Oh, brother.
Guys, how can we solve this problem of people taking over and raising up rent and more people will become homeless?
It's got to come down to what we said with the last topic, which is you have to get government involved. If you know your constituents, you know if you're a constituent of a particular district, talk to your congressman. Get on the phone. Go on the internet and tweet something.
You know what's sad? I'm sure everyone will agree when I say this. People would rather stay home on election day and refuse to vote. That's a problem. That's why they don't know nothing. That's why they don't know nothing about these local politicians.
It depends what election you talk about. People will stand up and vote for the next president. But you're talking about local officials, nobody cares.
They're not going to go. They don't care. That's the problem. That's why you have all these problems, because you're sitting there saying, oh, well, I don't need to vote. I'm voting for president. Yeah, but you need your local politicians.
I don't think a lot of that is all on the I don't care attitude until it gets to a point where they don't have a clue of what they're running for.
Exactly.
If people knew in general that they had a primary for Congress or a primary for local judges within their district, if they knew, one, what they were running for, two, who they were helping, and then were able to take that information and process it in a way that is not insulting to the people that are voting, and the people
right.
that vote don't feel that my vote doesn't count, you would have a bigger turnout for election day in general. And that's
yeah.
part of the problem in a lot of minority areas. And when we talk about
a
gentrification and that kind of thing, you notice that the people that have come from outside in that are going into the neighborhoods that were at one point predominantly black or predominantly Jewish or in this particular area, and then is being, as a lot of people say, it being taken over, they vote. They know what they're
yes,
voting
they do.
For. They know what they want
exactly.
In their community. They'll go out there and go on the ground, the grassroots, as they say, and they will
oh,
vote.
Yeah.
They don't have that in other areas where there are a lot of people in the African-American community or in the Hispanic community. They
right.
don't know enough about the people that are running to go ahead and want to vote because they don't think their vote's going to count. So they stay
exactly.
home and they don't vote, and then when they get the election done and the person that gets elected ends up screwing them out of programs that they need
right.
for their area, then they can't complain.
They can't. And you know what? And I'm sorry to say this, but it does happen. I mean, how many times have people stayed home on election day and then after, oh, my goodness, this isn't right. Did you vote? Oh, I don't care to vote. Okay, then fine. Then don't say anything.
You have nothing to say then.
Yeah, nothing
because
to say.
Because unfortunately, people would rather bitch and complain and rant and rave, oh, this
yeah.
is what's going on in this community, oh, my people are this and this and that and all this other crap, instead of actually doing something, like
do something
educating
about
people,
it.
Pull out pamphlets, you know, educate yourselves. People don't do that anymore. They don't care enough
and,
to. They just rather rant and rave like lunatics instead of
yeah.
actually being proactive and doing something.
You know what? There was a couple
hey,
of
guys,
years ago.
I have, another live tweet from Patrick R. Us. I don't make these names up. These names are so okay. So.
Wait, what's his name? I got to hear this.
Patrick R. Us. I don't know.
Okay.
Wow.
Should the government set aside a certain amount of money for renovating houses and gentrified areas for low-income people?
They should have been doing that a long time ago.
There are
organizations that actually work for that reason, that actually, you know, houses, I think it was Habitat for Humanity, where they actually help out people in certain low-income areas that need housing, and they build apartment buildings and help people get housing. But in general, the main reason why you don't hear as much about these kinds of things is because, one, Congress, they don't talk to each other. They don't trust each other. Republicans hate
mm-hmm.
Democrats. Democrats hate Republicans. But Democrats and Republicans hate independents. So they're all back and forth yelling and screaming at each other. Nothing gets done. When you hear about the government being shut down, that's one of the reasons why, because they don't talk to each other. Oh, we're going on vacation. We'll see you next
mm-hmm.
year. And then
yeah,
things don't
yeah.
get done. And that's part of the
right.
problem. When we spend all that money on weapons and stuff to go to war, it can take a good chunk of that money and put it into some actual funding for actual things that can be used.
Yep.
And that's one of them.
True, but at the same time, and Nicho can vouch for this, when we go drive to a certain spot to have some special drink, we see the new houses that are built around our area, and you could tell there are new up-and-coming affordable housing for very cheap material.
Yes,
so once you get what you pay for. So, like, if one house catch on fire, the whole town will be on fire.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be done. You'll be done after that.
And we've seen
but
that
noticed,
a lot.
What I noticed, they're using pods. They're not actually building. They're using those pods. You know, you can just pile it on top of each other.
Yeah, you mean like those McMansions that they used to call them, where they would
yes.
just go ahead and it's like the Happy Meal of apartment buildings,
yes,
where they go
exactly.
ahead and you can take a building and you would raise the old building, clear out the debris, take all of the other stuff out, and literally within a year to a year and a half, you've got yourself a 5-story building. And it's like, well, how the heck did that happen? Then you find out 2 years later there was a fire because of whatever chemical was used to treat the material that they were using, and then the whole thing would burn to the ground, and then they start the whole thing over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's how they do it.
And so, in other words, the government or the people, they're doing their part for affordable housing, but there's a catch to it. So like everything
exactly.
else, there's a
catch. Oh, of course.
Okay, well, I have to wrap things up, but let's go to our Twitter questions now.
Okay.
This is going out to Anitra. This is from Jerry Patel. He wants to know, what do you think about the Facebook dislike button that they're working on, and do you think we'll start trouble or controversy among friends?
Oh, of course it will. First of all, I think it's fabulous. I would use it all the time. Just to piss people off, because to me, I think it's funny. Of course it is.
It's like, dude, I don't like you
catty.
Anymore.
Oh, my God, you just liked it? You didn't? Oh, I can't
dude.
Wait. Dude. I am very excited about this, and I cannot wait for it to come about.
You're like, dude.
Okay. All right, Brooklyn Dude, what do you think about that?
Well, this is the thing. It's going to cause a big controversy because, you know what? There's a lot of things about Facebook. You know, I've said this before, and I say it again. You know, everybody, there are some people who live their entire lives on Facebook, and they are going to be mad.
Mm-hmm. It's great. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait to use it because I know a couple of people out there to use it, darling.
All right, so to the person that don't use social media, Sean Black, what do you think? Do you think it was cause controversy among people?
I don't know if it's going to cause controversy, but I know it'll cause a lot more people to come to social media just to see if you don't get liked. Oh, usually it was all about like me, like me, like me. Companies do that. Go on my Facebook page and like it, and we'll give you, I don't know, a coupon for 10% off of whatever. But you can imagine the rampant business dealings that'll happen when people go on there and they put dislike. No, I don't like your company. I don't like this. So it could help out depending on what it's used for.
Yeah, but you want people like Anitra to cause trouble. All right, I just like your photo. Goodbye. Okay, but right. You know what? This question is for Sean. This question is from Brooklyn Dudes. This is a social media question. What impact does Pope visit have on this country? As you well know, people, the Pope did visit Philadelphia, New York, and somewhere else, and
D.C.
caused chaos. And and D.C. How can I forget? So do you think it had any impact on this country?
Without question, that created a huge impact, and we saw that from the car company Fiat. Who got in the D.C. area, the first place that the Pope went was in Washington, D.C., and he was there for a couple days, and they treated him like he was God. Ooh, interesting. And what happened is the car that he was driven around in was a Fiat. Well, lo and behold, shortly after the Pope left, the local Fiat car company where they had the dealership, they got a huge spike in interest in selling the cars.
Yes, they did.
I went to a 7-Eleven yesterday, and they were selling Pope was here magnets in the front of the store, and they were almost sold out. And the woman that was talking to the cashier was like, "Oh, I didn't know that these were here, and let's buy these, and I need to get one for my son." Really? So of course, there's a huge crush as far as money goes, and the impact that the Pope was here did a great deal. I can imagine why he didn't go to Los Angeles or out on the West Coast. Who knows?
Okay, and let me speak to the other devil, Anitra B. What do you think? Did it have a big impact?
No, I think it did. Definitely had a huge impact. I mean, I'm not a religious person myself, but even I was intrigued. Like, I wanted to see what he was going to say when he addressed Congress. Like, I was curious when he addressed Congress. Like, I wanted to know what this man was going
to
say.
He is actually the closest I've seen of a religious figure to actually being human, if you understand where I'm coming from.
No, I get it. And it did. What I'm curious to know is the mass he did at Madison Square Garden. Were those purchased tickets, and where did that money go?
Good question.
I'm curious about that.
We just lost a caller. We just lost Sean Black.
What's the catch?
Oh, well. As you were saying, Anitra, I'm sorry.
That huge mass that he did at Madison Square Garden, it was all over the news.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was curious. I want to see. I want to do the research. I'm curious to know how much those tickets were and where the proceeds went.
No. The tickets were for free. For everything, it was for free. Some people try to sell them on eBay, but it was like very difficult for you to sell the tickets on eBay. But I'm sure some people sold the tickets. But everything was for free. They made
it first come, first serve.
Interesting.
Yeah. You had to go online and do a lottery, and that's how you got the ticket. I know.
Because I was wondering about that. Because I was like, huh.
How I know, because I was supposed to have lunch with the Pope last week, but I was so busy I didn't have a chance to meet up with them. But besides that, let me go on to the next question. And this question is towards me, because I pissed someone off last week.
So you're doing your job.
Oh, yes. It's from MJ. Do you blame the parents?
Michael Jordan?
Michael Jackson. Who knows?
Wow.
But, womp, womp, womp. Do you blame the parents of the 14-year-old boy for bringing the clock to school? Where do I start from here?
Yeah. I'm not even going to say anything. You go ahead.
Yeah.
You know the answer to this question, ladies and gentlemen. The answer is yes, yes, yes. Yes, you guys got upset with me while calling him a 14-year-old terrorist because he's a Muslim. Yes, that was a joke. But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Once again, America is full of racism, racial profiling, and stereotypes. If I see my son, which I know is Muslim descent, we're all Muslim, and you decide to build a clock for science, which is okay, there will be questions about it among other people. Is it right way? No. Was it wrong? Yes. But I'm sorry, once again, I don't care what anybody say, especially on this panel. If you see a Muslim come to the school or to your area and you see something and does not look right, a suitcase, and you see a time on it, was counting up or down, you're going to have questions. You're not going to second guess yourself. Because why? Because of the Muslim attacks that have been happening around the world. Yes, because of 9/11. And that's what the media, movies, TV, implanted in our heads. And once again, how many times we keep hearing attacks? Suicide bombers. It's nothing new. Do I blame the parents? Yes. But at the same time, I wasn't there. I don't know the whole story. There's three sides to everything. His, hers, and the truth. And I don't know the truth. You know, and I'm getting another caller. I guess I'm pissing people off now. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Cedric Ortiz. Hello?
Yes.
Yo, dude, what's up with you guys? It's Matt.
Hey, that's Matt.
Hello.
Hey.
Yo, I'm sorry.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Yo, I'm just chilling with Korean. Korean, just use your phone. Just call the caller your phone, man.
And like I was saying, guys,
I think I was trying to make sure to have.
Alrighty then. And like I said, guys, we got like 10 minutes. We talk about the Pope, gentrification, sex, everything right now.
You talk about the Pope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think the Pope? It was a question someone asked us, and we decided to answer that question, is what we do.
What was the question?
Oh my goodness, he wasn't even.
What impact the Pope visit have on this country?
Any questions regarding the Pope, I would not touch it, bro.
Why? Are you afraid of the Pope?
No, I'm not afraid of the Pope. But you know.
Are you afraid of religion?
No, I'm Catholic. Okay, I'm Catholic.
So the Pope is your hero.
I'm saying that is the oldest mafia in the whole century. Catholic Church is the biggest mafia. I'm going to keep it real. I'm keeping it real,
guys. Tell them.
Very careful. Yeah, that's religion for the thugs, bro. That's religion for the thugs.
Oh, well, tell us more details about it. You have a few minutes left. You call it the Mafia.
Well,
what do you think of the Mafia?
I was going to call in thinking that you guys were talking about justification, but of course, talking about the Pope. All I can say is this. You know, it's, when it comes to power, they have power, bro. Catholics have power, period. You know that. They have the money. They erase any scandal that's out there, especially when it comes to priests. They'll erase it. It's bad taboo. Don't want to talk about
it. Okay. And what do you want to say about justification?
Well, I listened to the show last week, and there was a lot of points you guys were making. There was a lot of concerns I had was the fact that nobody that called in on the show was giving some sort of solution or any sort of suggestion on how to solve the problem that we have. And I'm hearing a lot of finger pointing about, oh, this is it, this is going bad, so I don't hear anybody calling in what we need to do. That was my main concern. So in case I may have missed what happened earlier, if you guys are talking about today, I'm hoping somebody did call us with some ideas, because I have some ideas. I'm not saying it's a home run, but I think it's more healthy and it's more better if people start calling in and giving ideas about the playing.
Sean Black, take over. Tell them what you said earlier.
Well, what I basically stated was that the one thing that needed to be done was if you have issues with gentrification, like we spoke of other topics, is to actually call your congressman, write to the government, write to anybody that is within that constituency in your district, in that area, and have them listen to what you have to say. Organize people, get a grassroots groundswell of support, and bring that to your congressman, bring that to the Senate, and let them hear this, because you're the ones, the people that are voting them in. And if you don't do what the people are asking, you will not be in for a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh term. That's part of their jobs. And if the issue with gentrification has gotten to the point where, you know, I live in such and such district, and I can't find a place to live in an area that I've lived in for 20, 30 years, something has to change. If the people actually get motivated and get more people to get on board with that, get a petition going, go ahead and organize, picket if you need to, go ahead and Twitter, because the government, they have their own Twitter accounts to listen to the people's opinions. Go to the White, if you can, go to Washington, D.C., and let people hear of it. Because part of this is what started Occupy Wall Street. So people wanted to get government changed for affordable housing, for better jobs, better pay, equal rights, that kind of thing. It can be done. Do it that way. That's one of the ways that it'll work.
You really think that's going to work?
It can, but see, here's the issue, Max. People don't do it. Isn't that an issue of it won't work? It's the fact that people are enough people that have that passion within them to get that done aren't getting it done because they're not doing it. If they get up, they go, and let's say tomorrow or sometime during the week, and somebody was to organize, like, I'm starting a petition, or go online and start a grassroots thing. I'll give you an idea. When the ALS challenge started online, to get research for people with ALS to do that ice bucket challenge, it started slowly, but it got a groundswell. And enough people online got behind it, and it worked, and it raised millions and millions of dollars for research. Same similar kind of thing can happen with enough groundswell if people want to get things done.
Well, like Anitra and I said earlier, Max, the problem with most people, especially that live in projects and all this stuff, Sean is right, but the problem with most people are lazy. They don't want changes, but they don't want to do anything about it. So they're comfortable in their environment right now. They complain about it, they hate it, but at the same time, they don't do anything about it.
Imagine 30 million people decided in New York State, not even the city, just in New York State, were to just go ahead and say, you know what, enough is enough, let's get such and such done. Do you know what kind of message that would send to Congress,
strong,
would send to the Senate?
A very strong one.
And like I said earlier, guys, the problem is the lack of voting. The lack of voting.
Right.
Unfortunately, gentlemen, people, unfortunately, gentlemen, like I always say, people would rather rant and rave and bitch and complain than actually get off their lazy ass
and do something.
Exactly.
And do something about it. They're not going to do it. And I'm well said, Anitra. Well said.
Which is unfortunate, but it's true.
And I've said it to many people, oh, this is happening in my neighborhood. Oh, this is, I'm like, did you vote? Nope, then shut up. Don't say nothing then.
So, Matt, go ahead, Matt.
I read four books. Four books I've read from three excellent authors: Michael Eric Dyson, Claude Anderson, Tavis Smiley, and Tariq Nasheed. All four of them talking about the topic that you guys just brought up. All four of them, who are very different men, have mentioned a lot of things completely different than what Sean just said. And another person I'm going to throw in there is Dr. Boyce Watkins, another guy. So I've listened to shows that they made up, and the thing that you guys are missing out is, which Anitra did bring up a hint, is laziness is killing us. Can solve some of the problems is family members. Like, let's say Sean is the head of the household, and Rod's the head of the household. Each of one of you guys are changing the format by that. You know what? Start building something in your family. Start leaving inheritance. Because the urban community, the inheritance is very low and very poor. Inheritance is basically, in the urban community, it's either I'm going to pass the torch down for my child to live in the Section 8 project. Empty tray. That's all we're passing down, is empty trays. No will, no life insurance, no pension, nothing passed down for them to use to live off and to earn. It's empty trays. Other ethnic groups say they do more than just pass empty trays. They teach their children how to be ownerships, how to own some stuff, how to have an investment, and everything else. So they live in
Is that really our job to teach the young people Can they just learn on their own like some other people?
You're a father of two kids now. So you're a father of two kids, starts in the house. Because you can't rely on education that wasn't even catered to minorities. That education system was never catered to us. That was not built for us. We was there. We won segregation. We won it, and we got in there, but it was never catered to us. So we can't use that to help us be more successful. One of us has to do more. We have to do more. We're incomplete.
Okay.
What's making it worse is today's stuff. What's going on here? This stupid nonsense that's going on is a distraction.
And we're losing focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
We focus too much on that, and we're not focusing on the household responsibility. You see a lot of Asian people, they build faster than we do. Militants build faster than they must be. We're behind.
Okay. Well, I wish you had called in earlier, Matt, but I have to cut you guys off because time is running out. So, Matt, what is your final thought? No, it's all right. What is your final thought?
Well, like I said, start at home. And you need more than just petitions. The petition, I said this a long time ago, it's for soccer moms. We have to do our own. Everybody has their own thinking about wealth. If you look at it now, you need more than $50,000 to $1 million to live off for your family. You got to think big.
Damn. That is very informative. Thank you. And K-Dog, what's your final thought?
My final thought is this, is that what we need to do is build a structure, and we need unity, and also to let our voices be heard in the right way, not to be negative, and also learn the value of a dollar.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. And, Matt, please call in next time. I don't mind continuing this conversation. All right, Matt?
I thought you guys were going to text me, though.
my fault. I take the blame for this one. But, guys, thank you once again. Till next time.
All right, guys. Later.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
All right. Anisha B. Oh, damn. I hung up on Sean. Oh, well. K-Dog, later. Anisha B. Sean Black will call me back because I hung up on him by mistake again.
Of course he will.
What is your final thought, dear?
Oh, thank you. No, I'm tired of the ranting and raving. Everybody bitches and complains, and they do nothing. People, get off your lazy ass. Do something, or shut the hell up.
Wow. Okay. You are on fire today. Is everybody smoking something today? There's something in the air today. I've never seen this much fire out of all of us in a very long time.
And I'm out of vodka.
Oh, go figure. And Sean Black is calling back. Sean Black, that was my fault. I hung up on you. And Anisha brought up a decent final thought. So now it's time for your 2-minute final thought.
And the countdown starts now.
My final thought is, as people, we need to just go ahead and hold the ones accountable that have the power to do certain things and make sure that they don't take advantage of the wrong people. And as I stated earlier, you have to make sure that those people are held with their feet to the fire and they do what they're supposed to do. You got to vote, vote. You got to talk to somebody, talk to somebody. Make sure that what you need in this life is met by the people that have the power to help in your community. That's the best thing that I can come up with right now.
Wow, very good.
And it wasn't
nice
2 minutes.
Said.
Yes. Short, succinct, and to the point.
Short and
I know that.
Nice.
That's what she said, and she still got pregnant. Go figure.
Oh, Lord. All right, Hot Rod, your turn.
My turn is, I forgot. I always forget my final thought. I always do. I don't know why. But you guys talk so much. But it's come down to me, I don't know. More than that, ladies and gentlemen, gentrification is a serious problem. I just wish everybody to do more research. Like Max said, if we do reading, knowledge is power. There are ways to find affordable housing, but, you know, be smart about it. Do some resource. Instead of Googling about Freddie Rapp that got hurt in a motorcycle accident the other day, or I don't know his real name, or since we don't need to worry about the damn Kardashians or what the hell they're doing,
exactly.
Worry about yourself first. Think about your family first. I mean, yes, we all always tell everybody to live your life. At the same time, we all have responsibilities to do. And, you know, we have people who are just of us, Anisha, Sean, and myself, because we don't have the best of life, but we make the best of everything. And when they see their life is miserable, that's where the haters comes in. Well, I love haters, but my haters motivate me to do better. People are jealous of us with our show. And the sad part is, we don't even get paid for this. We're doing this for our hearts. So I don't get it. I really don't get it.
And we still piss people off.
You know?
Always. Well, what would be best?
I got one question before I go. Is the Pope Muslim or a Jew?
Huh?
Is the Pope a Muslim or a Jew?
He's neither. Last I checked.
He's neither. He's Catholic.
Okay, guys, you actually do know a little bit about your religion. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to another edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, William O, the King of King himself. I am the High Rider with the one and only
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure
was
all
yours.
Good night, everyone. Take care.
Good night.
Woo!